Good afternoon. This being Easter Sunday, I thought I'd tell you about a humble Portuguese fishing captain who was snatched from the jaws of death off Thatcher's Island by what he considered a miracle. And to show his gratitude, this courageous skipper vowed to serve God and his fellow men, which he did in a manner that will never be forgotten in his hometown of Gloucester, Massachusetts. Joseph P. Mosquito was only 15 when he ran away from his home in Pico, Portugal, as cabin boy on a ship bound for New England. He'd heard wondrous tales about New York, New Bedford, Provincetown, and Gloucester from his fellow countrymen who had visited those ports. And all the way across, young Joe prayed that he might succeed in this new world, in spite of the fact that he had only 49 cents in his pocket when he stepped ashore at Gloucester. The first thing, of course, was to get a job, then learn to read and write. But that meant going to school, and he couldn't do both, so Joe signed up on a boat bound for the Banks. And thus, at an early age, Joe Mosquito began his career as a Gloucester fisherman. He was a serious-minded and deeply religious lad, and he shook his head many times over the young fishermen who squandered their earnings. Joe saved his money toward the day when he would have a home and a schooner of his own, but he gave generously toward the support of the Portuguese church, Our Lady of Good Voyage, and to men less fortunate than he. Our Lady of Good Voyage was the patron saint of all the fishermen, and every time the crew of a fishing boat was paid off and each man took his share of the profits of that trip, a certain percentage was set aside from the men's wages. They called it the share for God. And this money was kept by the captain until Christmas time, when it was presented in a lump sum to the parish priest. Many a fisherman's widow and children would have gone hungry without these donations. It was to Our Lady of Good Voyage that Joseph Mosquito prayed for success and safety each time that he sailed. And all through the stormy years at sea, his faith was never shaken. By the time 1900 rolled around, Joe Mosquito had grown to manhood. He was married, had a family, and he had his own schooner, the slick two-masted Mary P. Mosquito, named for his wife. And at the entrance to his cabin on that schooner, Joe built a shrine, a little niche in the wall with a small statue of Our Lady of Good Voyage, where he and any of the men who wished could kneel in prayer every night to give thanks for the blessings the day had brought. Now, there comes a time in some men's lives when they are put to the test without warning. And that time for Captain Joe came in October 1900. He was returning from the Banks with a good catch, and all of his crew of 17 but one were in good spirits. Alfred Brown, well known along the Gloucester waterfront as the man with bad dreams, was very much upset. On several occasions, I'm told, Brown had dreamed of some accident or death three times in succession, and shortly after the event he dreamed of came to pass. Some skippers wouldn't have Brown on their boat, but Captain Joe would and did. Well, nothing happened until the Mary P. Mosquito was well down the coast. And then one night, Alfred came tearing on deck, yelling, "I dreamed it again, Captain Joe. That's the second time." Joe Mosquito, throwing a comforting arm around the man's shoulders, said, "Tell me all about it." And he learned that on two successive nights, Brown had a nightmare in which he was choking, with water all around him. Joe led the frightened sailor to the shrine, and together they prayed. Then Joe saw Brown to his bunk and stayed by him till he fell asleep. It had been clear and cool that fine fall day, but as they headed for Thatcher's, a thick fog rolled in, so outlooks were posted, and speed was reduced. And thus they sailed, slowly and cautiously through the thick gray blanket of mist that enveloped them. It was between 10 and 11 o'clock when Captain Mosquito heard the lookout shout, "All hands on deck!" And rushing forward, he saw the sharp steel prow of a giant ocean liner dead ahead. He yelled for the men to launch the dories, but his voice was drowned by a splintering crash as the giant steamship sliced through the wooden side of his schooner, cutting it practically in two. Remembering that Brown was in his bunk and probably trapped by the onrushing water he dreamed about, Captain Joe dashed below. But Brown's bunk was empty, and no one ever saw him again. Forcing his way topside, Joe reached the deck just as the stern broke away and sank into the dark, swirling waters. Making sure no one was left, Joe jumped into the icy sea and swam rapidly so as not to be sucked down. The blackness of the night was stabbed again and again by the vivid beam of a powerful searchlight. Then a lifeboat appeared, and one after another, all the crew but Alfred Brown were picked up, and half an hour later, they stood shivering but thankful on the solid deck of the Cunard liner Saxonia, which by this time had resumed her voyage toward England. Blankets were brought and hot drinks, but before they were accepted, Captain Joe said to his men in a husky voice, "Let us get down on our knees and give thanks to God and Our Lady of Good Voyage for saving us from the jaws of death. And so they knelt there on the deck in prayer. Later, as they sat around, much too upset to go to sleep, Captain Joe Mosquito made a vow that when he got back to Gloucester, he would send to Portugal for a solid silver crown with which to celebrate the special holy Sundays set aside by the Portuguese as days of special observance and thankfulness. It will be kept in the church, Joe promised, and any man, however poor, may have it in his home in time of trouble. Well, as the days went by and no word from the Mary P. Mosquito was received in Gloucester, grave fears were felt for her safety, and the relatives of Captain Mosquito's crew made daily trips to the church to pray for their loved ones. Only the captain's wife believed he would return. Over and over, she told other women, "Don't despair. Deep in my heart, I know that Captain Joe is alive. We'll hear from them before long." But it was bad news that came from Cape Cod a few days later. For three badly splintered dories, bearing the name Mary P. Mosquito, had washed ashore at Highland Light, and the beach patrol from the Old Harbor Life-Saving Station found other wreckage at Chatham. Joe's wife still refused to give up hope, and on the morning of November the 5th, a cable came saying, "Run down by Saxonia, all saved except Brown." Naturally, there was great rejoicing when Captain Joe and the 15 others were safe back in Gloucester. They all went to their church to give heartfelt thanks to their patron saint, the Lady of Good Voyage. And to the parish priest, Father DeBim, Joe said, "I want you to send to Portugal, Father, and have a crown made with the world and the dove and the scepter, same as they have in Portugal. I and my crew from the Mary P. Mosquito will pay for it, and we will have a crowning ceremony here in Gloucester every year. And every year I will dedicate myself to God and be crowned on Trinity Sunday." So the crown was ordered. And a year later, when the most skilled silversmiths of Lisbon had finished it, it was blessed by His Holiness Pope Leo XIII and forwarded to the church in Gloucester. This crown is of solid silver, with five separate arches meeting at the top, on which there's a golden ball representing the earth. And above that is a solid silver dove with outspread wings. The crown weighs about 5 pounds and has an adjustable headband so it will fit the head of a small child or a husky fisherman. A few weeks from now, when the annual crowning ceremony is held, it will be carried through the streets by the man who is chosen to be imperator, or as the Portuguese say, king for a day. This old world ceremony dates back to the reign of Queen Elizabeth of Portugal in the 14th century. Known to her subjects as Queen Isabel, she initiated the custom of crowning one of her subjects king for a day, and the ceremony was marked by fervent prayers and special charities to the poor. One year there was a fearful famine, and good Queen Isabel generously gave loaves of sweetbread, called resquillas, to the hungry children. Her husband, hard-hearted King Don Pedro, forbid this gesture, but Queen Isabel still continued to smuggle the donut-shaped loaves of bread to the poor people, and one fine day, the king caught her. "What have you got wrapped up in that cloth?" he demanded. The queen was frightened, but she smiled sweetly and fibbed, "Oh, just some roses that I picked in the garden. Let me have those roses." And Don Pedro shoved a hairy hand into the bundle of bread. But then a miracle happened, for all he found were handfuls of fragrant rose petals. And at that instant, a snow-white dove swooped down from the sky and lighted on the queen's shoulder. That is the reason for the silver dove on the crown that Captain Joe had made. And I have pictures of him proudly holding the crown when he was imperator in the first ceremony of its kind in this country in 1902. 20 years later, in 1922, another distinction came to the white twin-towered church in Gloucester. Our Lady of Good Voyage was the first church in the United States to install a carillon. The late Congressman A. Piatt Andrew was instrumental in getting the bells. 21 at first, and then later 10 more. And they were admitted to this country from England, free of duty, by a special act of Congress. And the famous Belgian carillonneur Anton Bries came to Gloucester for the dedication. He was followed by Monsieur Lefebvre. And both noted artists persuaded Captain Joe's talented daughter, Mary Mosquito, to try her hand at playing the bells. Mary tried, and after long, arduous hours of practice, she mastered the tricky technique, and for several years, Mary Mosquito played the carillon high in the north tower of Our Lady of Good Voyage, just across the square from her father's home. We visited that home on Prospect Street a few days ago and talked to Mary and her sister Frances. They told us of the great solace and hope which Portuguese families have had from keeping the crown in their homes during illness and misfortune and war. One woman, whose four sons fought in the Pacific, vowed that if her boys should return to her safe and sound, she would be crowned with them and dedicate her life as Captain Joe had done. The boys came back, and with their grateful mother, they were crowned together in their beloved church. In April 1933, a delegation of New England fishing captains sailed to Washington on the famed fishing schooner Gertrude L. Tebow to ask President Roosevelt to put a tariff on fish so they could meet the stiff competition of Canadian and Japanese fishing interests. The Roosevelts had just moved into the White House, and these rugged New England skippers were their first guests. Captain Joe, now nearing his 75th birthday, was the oldest skipper in the group, and FDR asked him to tell of his experiences. When Joe finished telling of his dramatic rescue off Thatcher's and how he'd established the crowning at Gloucester, Mrs. Roosevelt brought forth the White House guest book and asked Captain Mosquito for his autograph. Reluctantly, Joe took from his pocket a small rubber stamp and an ink pad. Carefully stamping his name in the book that bore the most interesting signatures in the world and marking it with a cross, Joe said, "I guess that's the best I can do. I never had time to learn to write so other folks could read it." The president laid a hand on Joe's arm and said, "No name in this book will be more cherished than yours, Captain." And when the gallant skipper died a short time later, Roosevelt sent a letter of sympathy to Captain Joe's family, which we saw a few days ago, along with the cablegram which said, "Run down by Saxonia, all saved but Brown." Captain Joe Mosquito died as he lived, a simple Gloucester fisherman, in the very shadow of Our Lady of Good Voyage Church, which his many shares for God had helped to build. Among the floral tributes at Captain Joe's funeral was a 12-foot replica of his fishing schooner, fashioned by the Coast Guard crew at Bay 7. The whole vessel was made of roses, with green garlands arranged to spell the words, "A fair wind on your homeward run, Captain Joe. We rise to our feet as you pass by." Just as the lighted figure of Our Lady of Good Voyage between the twin towers of Gloucester's famous church guides the fishing fleet through fog and darkness today, so did Our Lady guide Captain Joe through long years of storms, hardship, war, and depression with the bright light of faith. Captain Joe's courage and service to God and to his fellow men will be remembered each year when the crowning ceremony is held and the beautiful carillon sounds a requiem to his memory.